ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
So we will take verse number 35 first and then we will read the previous verses because the previous verses have no purport.
Vritasya deha niskrintam
niskrant
Vritasya deha niskrantam Atma Jyotir Arindama Pashyatam Sarva Devanam Alokam Samapadyata.
Written and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
O King Parikshit, subduer of enemies, the living spark then came forth from Vritasya's body and returned home back to Godhead. While all the demigods looked on, he entered the transcendental world to become an associate of Lord Shankarshan. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that Indra, not Vritasya, was actually killed. He says that when Vritasya swallowed King Indra and his carrier, the elephant, he thought, "Now I have killed Indra and therefore there is no more need of fighting. Now let me return home back to Godhead." Thus he stopped all his bodily activities and becomes situated in trance. Taking advantage of the silence of Vritasya's body, Indra pierced the demon's abdomen, and because of Vritasya's trance, Indra was able to come out. Now Vritasya was in Yoga Samadhi and therefore although King Indra wanted to cut his throat, the demon's neck was so stiff that Indra's thunderbolt took 360 days to cut it to pieces. Actually, it was the body left by Vritasya that was cut to pieces by Indra. Vritasya himself was not killed. In his original consciousness, Vritasya returned home back to Godhead to become an associate of Lord Sankarshan. Here the word Alokam means transcendental world, Vaikuntha Loka, where Sankarshan eternally resides. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 6th canto, 12th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled Vritasya's Glorious Death. We will read the translations of the previous verses. Text 23, Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, Vritasya and King Indra spoke about devotional service even on the battlefield and then as a matter of duty they again began fighting. My dear king, both of them were great fighters and very equally powerful. Text 24, O Maharaj Parikshit, Vritasya, who was completely able to subdue his enemy, took his iron club, whirled it around, aimed it at Indra and then threw it at him with his left hand. Text 25, with this thunderbolt named Shataparvan, Indra simultaneously cut to pieces Vritasya's club and his remaining hand. Text 26, Vritasya, bleeding profusely, his two arms cut off at their roots, looked very beautiful, like a flying mountain whose wings have been cut by Indra. Purport, it appears from the statement of this verse that sometimes there are flying mountains and that their wings are cut by the thunderbolt of Indra. Vritasya's huge body resembles such a mountain. Text 27-29, Vritasya was very powerful in physical strength and influence. He placed his lower jaw on the ground and his upper jaw in the sky. His mouth became very deep like the sky itself and his tongue resembled a large serpent. With his fearful death-like teeth, he seemed to be trying to devour the entire universe. Thus, assuming a gigantic body, the great demon Vritasya shook even the mountains and began crushing the surface of the earth with his legs, as if he were the Himalayas walking about. He came before Indra and swallowed him in Airavat, his carrier, just as a big python might swallow an elephant. Text 30. When the demigods along with Brahma, other Prajapatis and other greatly saintly persons saw that Indra had been swallowed by the demon, they became very morose. Alas, they lamented, what a calamity, what a calamity. Text 31. The protective armor of Narayan, which Indra possessed, was identical with Narayan himself, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Protected by that armor and his own mystic power, King Indra, although swallowed by Vritasura, did not die within the demon's belly. Text 32. With his thunderbolt, King Indra, who was also extremely powerful, pierced through Vritasura's abdomen and came out. Indra, the killer of the demon Bala, then immediately cut off Vritasura's head, which was as high as the peak of a mountain. Text 33. Although the thunderbolt revolved around Vritasura's neck with great speed, separating his head from his body took one complete year, 360 days, a time in which the sun, moon and other luminaries complete a north and southern journey, then at the suitable time of Vritasura to be killed, the head fell to the ground. Text 34. When Vritasura was killed, the Gandharvas and the Siddhas in the heavenly planets beat kettle drums in jubilation. With Vedic hymns, they celebrated the prowess of Indra, the killer of Vritasura, praising Indra and showering flowers upon him with great pleasure. Text 35. O King Parikshit, subduer of enemies, the living spark then came forth from Vritasura's body and returned home back to Godhead. While all the demigods looked on, he entered the transcendental world to become an associate of Lord Sankarshan. Om Agya. Hare Krishna. So this is the last verse of this very wonderful chapter from the 6th canto, chapter 12. Wherein we are finally seeing the most glorious disappearance of this very, very wonderful, exalted devotee, Vritasura. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, we must always be reminded what is the foundation of Srimad Bhagavatam. It is in the inquiry of Maharaj Parikshit to Sukhdev Goswami of what is the duty of a person about to die. In response to that, Sukhdev Goswami is narrating the whole Srimad Bhagavatam in 7 days. Srimad Bhagavatam, from the very first word up till the end, is nothing but a scripture which is promoting and teaching the principles of the highest, purest devotional service. It kicks out all the purusharthas and establishes simply the principles of devotional service. So, when we are reading the Srimad Bhagavatam, the purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam is to inspire all of us in the principles of pure devotional service. And that's the whole purpose, that's the whole motto, that's the whole focus of Srimad Bhagavatam, that's the whole focus of Sukadev Goswami that is narrating to Parikshit Maharaj and through him narrating to all of us. So when does something become very exciting? When are we most inspired by something? When we come across some unusual situations, it very much inspires us. Krishna Katha is meant to attract the dull minds of the Kaliyuga souls to the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. Manda Sumanda Mati Yor. It is established that the mind and the intelligence and everything about the Kaliyuga soul is dull. And when something is dull, it takes much more effort to inspire that person to be alert and agile. So we'll find in Srimad Bhagavatam the most amazing examples or the most unusual things to inspire all of us, the readers of Bhagavatam, on the path of pure devotional service. You take any example, any story, any pastime mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam, there's something most unusual about it. It begins with Bhishma Dev, that powerful grand seer, and he was a great devotee of Mahajan, one of the 12 Mahajans. But Krishna put him in the side of adharma. To teach a powerful lesson through the Srimad Bhagavatam. Very exciting, isn't it? That Bhishma Dev here is the most powerful archer, the most powerful devotee of the Lord. And is put on the side of Duryodhan. And he is supposed to carry out the orders of Duryodhan. It's quite strange in one sense. That a pure devotee is subservient to such a demonic personality as Duryodhan. But the Lord does the situations to teach us a lesson. That whoever you are, however strong you are, if you are on the side of adharma, you will be vanquished, you will be finished. Even if you are as powerful as Bhishma Dev. So Lord does, Shukda Goswami is narrating such amazing pastimes in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which will attract our hearts. Very soon we are going to celebrate Narsingh Chaturdashi. And how the Lord created this wonderful pastime. The most powerful demon, Hiranyakashipu, who performed the most unusual tapasya. The most unusual. And when I first heard, the first time I heard the story of Hiranyakashipu doing tapasya, and then I said that there was nothing remaining in his body, but just bones, and he was still standing, I was amazed. I said, how can this be possible? But it is possible. It's mentioned in the Bhagavatam. And suddenly from nowhere, Brahmaji comes and throws some celestial water and he gets a useful body. And becomes a very powerful demon. And he asks most amazing boons. Right? So when this is happening, when Hiranyakashipu is doing tapasya, the demigods are very scared. I said, this wife of his is carrying a child in her womb. So if this person is a demon, what will be his child? He'll be a terror. He'll be creating havoc. So they kidnapped Kayadu. But the Lord arranged amazing thing. From the semen of Hiranyakashipu, from the womb of Kayadu, who is the wife of a powerful demon, came a great devotee of the Lord, Prahlad Maharaj. It's most amazing, isn't it? And only Narad Muni knew this. He said, don't worry, this person inside, he's not a demon. He's a great devotee of the Lord. You know, that's quite strange. This is Bhagavatam. When somebody like us who are so dull, when we hear such stories, we get enlivened, we get awakened. Yes, this is wonderful. This is very nice. Who are the people in the Guinness Book of World Records? What is Guinness Book of World Records? If you read this book, I don't know how many of you have read it. I just happened to read it many years back. And everything about it is very enlivening. Somebody eating the most horrible chilies, the most hot chilies in the world. 450 of them in 30 seconds. Oof. The most hot, that, you know, it is from Argentina. This chilies in Argentina are the most hot chilies. And this guy takes it upon himself. I'll eat this chilies. And he eats 450 chilies in 30 seconds. Pop, 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 pop. And when we hear this, it is amazing. Somebody who is controlling a whole helicopter with his teeth. A rope tied to the helicopter and it's on his teeth. And he's controlling the helicopter. He's not able to fly with all its power. This guy is struggling. And he's not flying with the helicopter. He's just on the ground. That is the Guinness Book of World Records. And such, I know if I narrate it, it will be the whole Bhagavatam. It won't be Bhagavatam, it will be Guinness Book. But such amazing things are mentioned in the Guinness Book so that people were strange people, but they amazed the world. Right? Similarly, the Bhagavatam also is meant for the same thing, to inspire by the most amazing pastimes the dull mind of the Jiva soul to lotus feet of Krishna and his devotees. That's the purpose of Bhagavatam. That's why we read to every day to get inspired. The biggest challenge in Krishna consciousness is to sustain our enthusiasm, our excitement for devotional service. Gaurang Prabhu was telling me this Sunday when he gave the class. The whole focus of his was to just enliven, because you know it becomes difficult in the hot summer. Of course, it's no more hot in the temple now. But doing the same thing for years together, It becomes a difficulty. So to create the renewed excitement, it's a challenge. But the Bhagavatam offers that. Bhagavatam, Sudha Goswami knew that this people who are going to be here, they are going to be dull people. And they need to be enlivened every now and then, every day. The same principle is used by the material world. Every day, there are amazing novelty mobile phones. Every day. And you find newer and newer and newer features. Because the tendency is that we get bored by the same things. So they create excitement in the people. Newer and newer things. And they offer more and more things. That, because the tendency of change is innate in everybody. We don't want to do the same thing again and again. We don't want to hear the same thing again and again. Okay? So Bhagavatam offers us this facility. Bhishma Dev. We have the story of the Avanti Brahman. The epitome of what a miserly person can be. The most miser person. He'll be in the Guinness Book of World Records. The most miserly person. But then, the Bhagavatam doesn't end there. What comes out is the wonderful prayers. The wonderful prayers of out of his complete despair in the material world. And that excites us. We hear of, you know, when we hear of some love affairs, we get excited. People, movies nowadays are like that. But the movies also, they try to show new and newer things. But what can be more exciting than love affairs of Purava and Urvashi? There cannot be anything more exciting. Here is a man from the earth and a woman from the heavens. And you know, they get attracted to each other. And you know, and then you know, she has certain criteria. Only when if the criteria are fulfilled, she will stay. And you know, then the guy gets crazily mad after her. And you know, then you know, things happen. It is a long story, not within my jurisdiction to speak. Only pure souls like the Brahmacharis can speak. But we heard these wonderful pastimes of what happened, and then Purava, you know, goes mad, and then comes in the 11th canto his wonderful realization. Then we get excited. This is really brilliant. This is Bhagavatam. This is the principles of pure devotional service. He gets attracted in an unusual way, and his realizations are very unusual also. And similarly, here is the beautiful passing away of a most amazing personality of the Bhagavatam. A pure devotee in a form of a gigantic demon. It's just very exciting, isn't it? And what was the size of this person? You know, if you read this, and it is most amazing. This person was so huge. If you see the paintings that our ISKCON artists have drawn, we get some idea of what, you know, if I was just going through the painting. Vritasura appears to be like a huge mountain. And Indra is this small. And Indra's club is this small. I don't know whether it is here. It is here. See this. This is huge Vritasura. And Indra's club is this small. And see, Indra is this small. That's for the size of Vritasura. He was so huge. So when we hear something like this, that here, a person was so huge. But he's speaking about pure devotional service. Bhagavatam has the most smallest people talking about pure devotional service. In the form of that story of after Hiranyakasipu died, who came? The small Brahma. Yamaraj came in the form of a small boy. That's why he said that when a small boy speaks pure devotional service, it becomes very attractive. So everybody hears it. When Prahlad Maharaj was speaking about pure devotional service, when you hear, it becomes very attractive. Similarly, Vritasura, who is a powerful demon externally. But Bhagavatam mentions this. That's why this story is there in the Bhagavatam. Because it's ultimate, through the life of Vritasura, we will learn wonderful things. Today, in one sense, it is the disciplines day of Vritasura, as per the Bhagavatam. Right? He has disappeared today. Because this Bhagavatam is the eternal Leela. It's not that it happened some, you know, it's mentioned the number of years in the same very Bhagavatam. It happened some millions of years back on the banks of Narmada in the celestial world. And he passed away on banks of Narmada. It's not that it's happening only that time, it's happening right now when we are reading it. So what do we learn from this Vritasur? As an offering to Vritasur, what do we learn from him? It's very important to understand. Because he really taught us very powerful principles. So one of the major challenges that their devotees face, the sadhakas face, and their devotional service, is when they get misunderstood. I remember in my own life, you know, when I became a devotee and I did some service, I was told to do some service and to raise some funds. At that time, everybody was raising funds. That was the principle. And I was raising some funds, and then I was a very new devotee, a bhakta, maybe 6 months old. And then, you know, I honestly collected the funds and you know, I didn't know that, you know, we should be giving it to the accounts department or something like that. So I put all the funds in the hundi. I collected it and I put it in the hundi. You know, because ultimately I wanted to go to Krishna. So then, after a few days, the people asked that, where is the Lakshmi? You took the coupons, where is the Lakshmi? I said, I put it in the hundi. And obviously, you know what they thought. Huh? They said, this guy is a thief. And they accused me. And that was the biggest shock of my life. When you get misunderstood. When your aim is very pure. That is, you are trying to be pure. Might not be very pure. Because you are not a pure devotee. But you are trying. But when somebody misunderstands you, that's the most devastating thing in your life. Luckily, I survived by the mercy of Dayamrit Prabhu. He encouraged me, don't worry. So, misunderstanding is the biggest danger in spiritual life. But here we have an example of Vritasur. Vritasur was a devotee. What if we, you know, when we talk to a devotee and we get anger, he says, you are not a devotee, you are a demon. You are just in the guise of devotee, you are actually a demon. That's the most hurting thing. No, I'm a devotee. I'm trying to be a devotee. But here the whole world was accusing Vritasur to be a demon. And as Radhanath Maharaj explained in his Bhagavatam class some Sundays back, everybody was misunderstanding him. Not only the demigods, but even the demons were misunderstanding him. When the demons didn't have full faith in him, he was a demon, but demons didn't have food for him, and the demigods also didn't have. He was a devotee, but they didn't recognize him. So everybody was against him. But still he had full faith that his Gurudev, Narad Muni, is pleased. And of course, Gaurang Prabhu asked a beautiful question that day, and we all know that we should not just do things independently, but we should. Our Gurudev has already told what is important. There is cooperation. Right? We should not just say that, well, my Guru is pleased, so I'll do anything. So Vritasur taught us this powerful lesson of getting misunderstood but completely being fixed in his purpose. And this requires tremendous humility. It's not possible for a person to be the way he was unless he was a very, very humble person. And in this verses, Indra, he again and again gets disheartened, again and again gets. He feels that he is a failure. And Vritasur said, come on. Pick up the thunderbolt. This thunderbolt is going to kill me. Don't get disheartened. Vritasur is encouraging him. Because he knew that I am not of this world. I have to go back to the spiritual world. And I want to finish off my duties here and go back to the spiritual world. That's where I really belong. Similarly, of course, when he was telling Indra, he was fighting very, very powerfully. He knew that he was sitting tight. He was really fighting. The way he was fought, that he actually gulped Indra completely. He usurped Indra in his belly. That's how powerful he was fighting. Similarly, as sadhakas, we should understand that we don't really belong to this world. We belong to the spiritual world. But while we are here in the material world, we should continuing to do our duties as assigned by the Lord and by the spiritual master. And not be attached
to the outcome of it. Vritasura was simply attached to doing his duty. That's all. He was not really attached to anything. He was saying, just do the duty and let me finish it off and go back to Godhead. He's saying clearly, Indra, you kill me and let me go back to Godhead, to the lotus feet of my Lord, Sankarshan. Similarly, all of us, whether we are preaching, whether we are doing book distribution or whatever we are doing, we are simply doing this because we are in the material world, we are supposed to be engaged in Krishna's service. And we are not really attached to the results of it. We'll keep on doing it until the rest of our life, the way Vritasura continued to be a demon as a service to Krishna for the rest of his life. His duty was to be a demon and a powerful demon. And he did his service most wonderfully. He scared the demons, the demigods again and again. They were so scared of him. His form was so ferocious. But his heart was still as soft as butter. And he never lost his heart to Krishna. Similarly, my dear friends, when we come to Krishna consciousness, when we do so much management, let our heart not get hardened by the service. Let the heart remain soft, like Vritasura. He was actually doing a service of a demon. He was associating with the demons. He was actually the leader of the demons. Can you imagine? But still, the association didn't affect his heart even the slightest. He still had a heart which was 100%, 10% surrendered to the feet of his Gurudev, surrendered to the feet of Krishna. Many times when we become devotees, senior devotees, we become hard-hearted. We lose our softness which was originally there when we came to Krishna consciousness. That's why we came. But when we associate with devotees and we get some powers and we get some influence, we get some puja and pratishtha, our heart becomes very hard. And we lose the softness. But that's not what Vritasura is teaching us. Continue doing your service, but remember always where your goal is. For example, you know, when we go to Mathura, when we go to Vrindavan, from on the way on the train we do book distribution. But it's not that we become so excited with book distribution that we get down at Ratlam and go there and distribute books. and we never board the train again. I'm doing book distribution. But the focus, the aim is to go to Mathura, Vrindavan. Right? So we do things on the way, but we don't lose focus of that ultimate destination. Similarly, our ultimate destination, as Vritasura said, is the lotus feet of Lord Gopinath. In his case, his Lord Sankarshan. He did his duties, but when the right time came, like the great souls, Bhakti Tirtha Swami and our dear friends, Toka Krishna Prabhu and many other examples of ISKCON, Narmada Swami Maharaj. The right time came, he was completely focused. He said, now kill me enough. And he was in complete trance. Samadhi. To a certain extent, that somebody tore his stomach off. You know, when we are chanting, even a mosquito disturbs us. But Vritasura, when he realized, well, I've done my duty now, enough. I've got this person, I've done my duty now, finished. That's what Vishwanath Chakra Thakur is saying. That actually Vritasura realized that I've done my duty, I've got this guy now, he's no more out of sight, he's finished, he's in my tummy, in my belly. Now I will focus on Krishna. I finished my duty, now my main focus is the lotus feet of Sankarshan. He went into Samadhi, he was just focused. To such an extent he was in deep Samadhi, if somebody is in his belly, a whole elephant, of course the elephant is this small, because his belly is very big. Huh? And somebody just comes out and tears his belly off. Many times, you know, one devotee went through a hernia operation. You know, a small operation on the abdomen, in hernia. And they put a cut here. It was paining him, and he was in pain for at least 3 days. And it was the most sophisticated way of surgery. It was still paining, a small cut. It was done with utmost care, the surgery. The surgeon doesn't do just tear it apart and just do something. He does with a lot of care. But here, Indra was coming out of his belly just to destroy him. You can imagine what power he must have come out with. He was like, ah, boom, boom, out. Huh? He must have come with his full power, isn't it? Isn't it? You know, that he's just going slowly, slowly, and just trying to come out in a nice way so that his samadhi is not disturbed. He must have really just barged out of his, not barged in, but barged out of his belly with full passion. But this person was not even realized that something is coming out. He was in complete hurry. Chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And then not only that, Indra said, now this is a good time. He took his thunderbolt and he started cutting his head off. He said, if you're chanting and somebody just, just takes a saw and just starts cutting your head off, and you will be devastated. What are you doing? Even it touches you. Even you heard the sound of the saw, you'll be, hey, what are you doing? Why are you coming close to this with the saw? Huh? But a thunderbolt was cutting his head off, and it took him 360 days. It's not just one chop. It took him a long time, but still complete samadhi. Because he had finished his duty now. I've done my duty. That's up to Krishna. I'm not attached to the results. And Indra was victorious. And the Siddhas and the Chanaras were always there in the sky, ready to throw flowers at somebody. I think that's their service, maybe they, you know, to just be ready with the flowers, to push Abhishek. Something happens, just throw flowers. You find everywhere, you know, ready with flowers. So they were so happy that, oh, Indra ki jai, he's victorious, they threw flowers at him. Little did they know that Indra was the loser and Vritasura was the winner. If Indra was the winner, this chapter would have been named The Glorious Victory of Indra. But what is the chapter named? Vritasura's Glorious Death. Of all the halla gulla that Indra did, ultimately, the glory went to Vritasura. The world, to the rest of eternity, is going to glorify Vritasura. And Indra was saying, I'll do this. Vritasura knew it. Indra, you take your kingdom, but I'm going to go back to Godhead. It's something in a perverted way. Bhakti Thakur writes, Dasturi loibo ami purna be kam. Vritasura said that you take your kingdom, but my kam is purna. And I'll get my kingdom of God. You are happy with your little temporary kingdom, but I'll be happy in the lotus feet of the Lord. That is the lesson. Vritasura is saying, completely detached from any sense gratification. This is the power. This is the glorious teachings of Vritasura on his disciplines. How we should be completely focused. Let us not lose focus of the lotus feet of the Guru Maharaj. Vritasura was again and again remembering the instruction of Narad Muni. Never was a time where he lost the instruction of Narad Muni. And same thing is with Srila Prabhupada. Never was a time that Prabhupada lost track of the instruction of Guru Maharaj, and that's why the disciplines of Prabhupada were similar to the disciplines of Vritasura. Completely in samadhi, narrating the Bhaktivedanta purports. His body was finished. Body was in ruins. But he was in complete samadhi. So that is, this disciplines of Vritasura is the most inspiring. That how a person who has given a duty of a demon, he does the duty of a demon, but he is always focused at lotus feet of Lord Narayan. So today is actually a very auspicious day. Very, very auspicious. It's the beginning of, it's a very cool day. It's cool, we say that. But today is really a cool day. For the next 21 days, it's going to be your cool days. Not for us. For the Lord. Because it's the beginning of Chandan Yatra. Today was a very auspicious day of Akshay Tritiya. It is said that this day you don't have to see any muratas. For those who want to do any karma kand, devotees don't see muratas anyways, hopefully. We don't really care much about muratas. But for others, there is no muratas. The whole day is auspicious. It's a very holy day. And there are some very amazing pastimes that take place on this day.
for the pleasure of the devotees and for our purification, we like to narrate few of them. We narrated the pastime of Prahlad Maharaj on how Hiranyakashipu was trying to kill him somehow or the other. He said, kill him somehow or the other, kill him. And he, one of the ways he wanted him to kill is that throw him from the mountain. Go to the highest mountain and throw him down and let us see how he survives. So, the soldiers of Hiranyakashipu, they decided that let the mountain be at Simhachalam. Where this pastime happened was at Simhachalam. They threw him from mountain. But the Lord Hiranyakashipu, Narsingadev, even before he appeared from the pillar, he came in the most beautiful form of Varaha Narsingha. Varahadev was the cause of the death of Hiranyaksha, and Narsingadev was going to be the cause of the death of Hiranyakashipu. He came in a combined form of Varaha Narsingha, the powerful form, the most ferocious form. And he saved Prahlad when he was being thrown from the mountain. And that form became a self-manifestation murti. And that deity is so ferocious to this day, it is there in Simhachalam, that you have to constantly cover it by chandan to keep it cool. Don't get excited. Cool. So they keep on covering layers and layers and layers and layers of chandan. So when we go in any time of the year, it is almost like a shivalingam. Many of us went on a yatra and we saw a shivalingam, but it is on this day, once in a year, that Varaha Narsingha gives darshan. The Swayambhu Murti is seen, the thousands of people at Simhachalam today, you know, having darshan of this most powerful deity of Varaha Narsingha. It is today, which is the beginning of the cart making at Jagannath Puri. There is auspicious festival, Lord Jagannath comes out and he has Chandan Yatra in Narendra Sarovar along with the Usav Murtis, Madan Mohan. And there's a beautiful Chandan Yatra celebrations. Lord Jagannath celebrates this for 42 days. Jagannath is everything is big size. Thappan bhog every day. Similarly, Chandan Yatra, not 21, 42 days. So they celebrate 42 days of Chandan Yatra. 21 days in Narendra Sarovar and 21 days inside. So the Murtis, Madan Mohan comes out today in Narendra Sarovar. And today is the day where they start building the beautiful divine carts of Lord Jagannath for the Rath Yatra. And one very beautiful pastime happened today. This is the holy pastime from the land of Vrindavan. Just yesterday, that was just the day before Akshay Tritiya, Nanda Maharaj decided that I want to go on a pilgrimage to take bath in Prayagraj. Because it's so holy. Prayag is the Triveni Sangam. I must take bath in that holy divine place so that I can get spiritual benefits and if I can pass on the same to my family. So then Krishna, you know, who believes in a self-sufficient community, Krishna doesn't want anybody to go out of his community. You have seen in his Leela, Krishna hates anybody to go out. As if people were going, once upon a time they were going to Badrinath, Kedarnath, they said, no need to go. There's Badrinath, Kedarnath right here. So there's Badrinath, Kedarnath in Vrindavan. Krishna didn't want anybody to go out because everything then is Vrindavan. Vrindavan is a desire place. Whatever desire is there. Similarly, when Krishna heard that Nanda Maharaj is going to Prayag, he said, why do you want to go so far? There's no need to go. As Dinbandhu Prabhu explains, Nanda Maharaj told his wife to make matri. Matri is a thing which lasts for a long time. People, when they travel, they carry matri. So that's how Krishna realized that Nanda Maharaj is making a long journey. He said, where are you going? He said, I'm going to Prayag. He said, there's no need to go. Nanda Maharaj said, no. Whatever you say, but I am very keen. But on day of Akshay Tritiya, that is today in the morning, when Nanda Maharaj every day takes bath at Pavan Sarovar, that holy place, where Sanatana Goswami has his bhajan kutir. Nanda Maharaj went early morning and he was shocked. He was surprised. When he reached there, he saw a very huge and a beautiful personality, very kingly personality, dressed in very opulent dress. And he removed all his dress, all his opulence, he removed everything. And he went into the Pavan Sarovar and took his bath. Came out, started dancing in ecstasy, rolling in the dust of Pavan Sarovar, went inside again. Came out again, dancing, went inside, did this couple of times. Then he prayed, wore his clothes and went back. Nanda Maharaj went to him and said, "Who are you?" He said, "I am Prayagraj." So every year, throughout the year, day after day, people come and take bath in my holy water and they dump their sins. So where do I get relief from all the sins that are dumped in me? Every year, once in a year, I come on this day of Akshaya Tritiya to take bath in this most holy swimming pool of Krishna and Nanda Maharaj. And he takes bath in that, gets completely purified, and goes back. That also happens on the day of Akshaya Tritiya. So this is the beautiful stories. And of course today is Chandan Yatra. And you know, what does this Chandan Yatra really signify? It is a powerful message to the world that Krishna is a person. How much we believe in the personal form of the Lord. Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan, is Sad Aishwarya Purna. But he also feels hot. And this is the powerful personalistic philosophy of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. And one of the most glorious personalities of our Sampradaya, Shripad Madhavendra Puri. One of his major services to his worshipful deity, Sri Gopal, was to offer him Chandan, because Gopalji was feeling hot. The story is a very long story, I'm sure all of you know. But it occupies practically one full chapter in this glorious scripture, Chaitanya Chaitamrita. The devotional services of Madhavendra Puri, something like that, right? The whole chapter is filled with the story of, or almost three-fourths of the story is nothing but Gopalji asking Madhavendra Puri to go to the Malaya hills to fetch Chandan for him because he's feeling hot. So this is the wonderful pastime. And for the next 21 days, we will see the Lord. And I remember in a few years back when Radhanath Swami Maharaj was giving his lecture, he said that when devotees, we all are feeling very hot. Today when I came, when I was in the altar performing aarti, I was just flooded with perspiration. It is so uncomfortable. But what is our philosophy? Our philosophy is to water the root of the tree, and we are sure the whole tree is nourished. So when we see that the Lord is having a whole layer of chandan over him for the whole day, for the next 21 days, the devotees who are very much in union with the Lord in spirit, they also will get the cooling effect of the Lord. Not that, you know, we will not feel perspiration, but the powerful purification that happens by knowing that the Lord is enjoying. The Lord is cool today and for the next 21 days. That is the pleasure of the Lord. That's the pleasure of the devotees. And the Lord also reciprocates with us. I'd like to end with these beautiful words. The Lord, we offer the Lord Chandan and he feels very, very satisfied, very, very cool. Rupa Goswami is one of his beautiful verses. I don't know the words properly, but he says that Krishna Katha is like the Chandan. And when devotees hear Krishna Katha, it is like applying the Chandan on your body, and your materially afflicted soul, which is burning by the desires of sense gratification, gets cooled down by Krishna Katha. So we offer the Lord Chandan to cool him down, and he gives us his Katha to cool us from the scorching heat of the material existence. So let us really celebrate this wonderful festival for next 21 days to see the Lord is most wonderfully decorated with a thick layer of paste of Chandan. And this is nothing but the hard work of the devotees to rub the Chandan. And this is what is the pleasure of the Lord. So it is a most auspicious festive occasion, most wonderful occasion. And today is Akshaya Tritiya, so let us really celebrate all these wonderful festivals by intensely chanting Hare Krishna and by thanking Srila Prabhupada and thanking our spiritual masters to really give us the facility and give us the chance to celebrate such wonderful occasions. If we were Karmis, you know, we would have not had any idea of what is this wonderful festival is all about. But because we have got a chance to become devotees, we are having understanding of all these wonderful things. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki! Shri Chandan Yatra ki! Shri Akshaya Tritiya ki! Any comments by my senior god brothers, my senior devotees? Any comments, questions? So, cool days are here again. It's a cool days. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki! Hitai Gaura Premanandi.